So again, I before I jump into things, I just want to encourage you. Bring people with you on Christmas Eve, 6 p.m. on Christmas Eve, to come and celebrate the birth of Jesus. And that's going to be the conclusion of this series, by the way, on Christmas Eve. And I'm excited to preach that evening. We are in this series called Fearless Christmas. The entire premise of this series for me is simple. It is, if God really has come our way, then our fears should go away. That's it. That Christmas calls you and me to be courageous. And we said last time that we live in a world that is in bondage to the tyranny of timidity. Fear sells. I can promise you next year, in 2025, almost every single headline will include fear. We are in a culture that is in bondage to fear. I believe that a community full of cheer is a great witness to a people full of fear. As we raise up the kids, our next generation, we need to model for them not some bland, risk-averse, frightened version of discipleship. I was delighted to hear a story one of my preacher buddies shared, that in their church, their children have a program that they call Kids Story. And the way that it works is that the teacher of the groups would teach the kids a Bible story, teach them the story, and then the kids will repeat the story to the teacher, and then they see the divergences of the story being heard. They're learning what the kids are hearing as the teachers are sharing the Bible story with the children, and so the children share the story back. And this one particular Sunday, this particular group of kids, they were third graders, were learning about the story out of Mark chapter 5, where Jesus cast out a legion of demons. And the kids retold the story after the teacher had told the story. And then it was time for them to kind of process what they were hearing. And one of the kids asked the question during this time, well, can I be possessed by a demon? So the teacher asked the children, well, what do you all think? I mean, let's talk about this, guys. What do you think? What does the Bible say about this? And so the teacher helped them remember some of the stories where Jesus had cast out other demons out of other people. And he gave the disciples authority to cast out demons. And he gave power on Pentecost when his Spirit came and dwelled on them. And one of the third grade boys, finally he sums it all up. He says, you know what I think? I think the demons should be afraid of us, not us afraid of the demons. And I love that. Every single character in the Christmas story was charged to be fearless, including the youngest. So today we're going to look at a person that had the leading role. And she would be in youth group today, not as the leader of the youth group. She would be a student in the youth group. And a teacher one time asked his four-year-olds in Bible class, can you name the parents of Jesus? One boy raised his hand. He said, well, his daddy's name was Virg. She said, what would make you say that? He said, well, you're always talking about Virg and Mary. Today we're going to talk about Virgin Mary, because she has a lot to say to us about fearless surrender. So I'm going to read the text. I normally do this in a sermon, but my prayer is, as I read through this, I hope that you enter this text with solemnity and awe. There are some sections of Scripture where when you read them, you just have to step back and catch your breath because of the wonder of what it is that you just read. And I believe that this text is one of those kinds of texts. So listen to me, read this, but also read along in your own Bible from Luke chapter 1, verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town of Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. Wow. I never cease to be stunned when I think that the entire redemptive plan of God to save humanity hinged on the willingness of a teenage girl to submit to it. And Mary could have chosen to abort God's purposes for her life because of her fear. How is she going to explain being pregnant to her parents? How is she going to tell Joseph, her fiancé? What look can she expect from the local rabbi the next time she sees him? What are all the people in town going to talk about behind her back? You know that wedding that she's thought through ever since she was just a wee little girl and the whole town was going to be invited? They were going to party for a whole week? You can throw that out the window. I mean, she's got a lot of reasons to be afraid. She knew from the very beginning that this assignment would be tough. When they actually take the baby Jesus to the temple to dedicate him, there's this prophetess there, and she speaks a word over Mary, and she says, "A sword will pierce your very soul." God is asking Mary to surrender to an incredibly difficult assignment. She has good reason to be afraid. And here's the thing about fear. Fear can always find reasons to legitimize not surrendering. If you don't want to say yes to the big thing God is asking of you, there will always be reasons that make sense, that being cautious can always make more sense to you than being courageous. But here's the price we pay for our caution, and that is a failure to experience the power of God doing miracles in us and through us. I realized long ago, I can't live my life deciding which assignment I'm going to accept from God and which I'm going to refuse based upon how afraid his choices make me. Mary is not sure what it is that she's signing up for. She says, "I'm the Lord's servant. I hope everything that you said about me comes true." But she doesn't understand what that's going to be. But she wasn't asked by God and chosen by God because of her capacity to correctly understand. She was chosen because of her willingness to surrender courageously. Martin Luther said, at Christmas, really, there's three miracles. God became man, a virgin conceived, and Mary said yes. And she was highly favored because she believed God and she surrendered to whatever journey that belief would require of her. You see, Christmas calls you and me to make the same pilgrimage with the same amount of courage that Mary had. That God is going to ask each of you something that is going to demand surrender. And fear is always going to give you a reason to say, you know, that doesn't make any sense to me. But here's the message for today. I want you to write this down first. Number one, don't be afraid of where surrender will take you. You have to understand that evidently heaven does not equate favor with easy. Thomas Holmes, a psychologist, developed this stress test where he gave like certain points for certain like stressful scenarios that you could find yourself in your life. So like 35 points if you lose a job, 50 points if you get married, 25 points if you move to another city, even 14 points just to get through the Christmas season. Because we all know Christmas can be very stressful. But according to the test, if like stressful scenarios add up to 200 or more, that means that you are on the verge of possibly experiencing a mental breakdown. Well, a Bible teacher named Bridget Coons took that test from that psychologist and applied that to Mary in Scripture. 50 points for just having a baby. More points for having an unplanned pregnancy, away from home, by the way, with nobody to help her. More points because she lived in poverty. And after she went through it, how many points do you think she had added up for Mary? She came to the score, now this is all on her subjective approach, but she came to the score of 424. Now, even if that's exaggerated, you and I know that when God said, Mary, you are favored. Here is what that meant. It meant an unplanned, scandalous pregnancy. It meant an extremely uncomfortable trip late in her pregnancy to a strange town to have a baby where no family or friends are around to help her. It meant lifelong poverty. It meant lifelong being the subject of gossip. An innuendo. It means many years as a single parent. It meant sibling conflict. His brothers thought that Jesus had a Messiah complex. And all parents know how tough it is when your kids grow up and they don't get along very well. It meant her own hometown's rejection of her firstborn. And do not forget, Mary was there to watch her own son be executed. Now, if that is how God treats his favored, why should any of you be shocked by the challenge that comes with following Jesus? You see, Mary knew that she was saying yes to a life of disruption. Because you cannot follow God and stay right where you are. If you follow Jesus, he doesn't promise that he's going to take you to a place where there isn't any reason for you to be afraid. It's like when Jesus was on the sea, walking on the water, and the disciples are in the boat. And it's the midst of a storm and the water is going up and down like crazy. And Jesus bids Peter to come out on the water with him. But he does not say, hey, Peter, I want you to come out here, but wait a minute. Wind, stop. Water, calm. okay, Peter, it's safe now. Come out. That's not how it worked. He called him in the midst of a fearful situation. Because God is not in the business of canceling fearful situations as much as he is in the business of canceling your fear in your heart in the midst of a fearful situation. And he cancels fear by making his presence known. Mary, the Lord is with you. Emmanuel, God is with us. Maybe that's why the best known line of the best known song of all time is, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. So I have to ask, is there a place that you have not gone to, a situation that you avoid with everything because you've been afraid? And God has been asking you to go. You haven't signed up to serve in church. You're kind of afraid. You're afraid to trust God fully with your tithes and your offerings. How can I make all my bills if I give God some of what I've got? You're afraid to pick up the phone, call a counselor and say, I need some help. I need to talk. We need to talk. Our marriage is on the rocks. You're afraid to admit to a friend, you know what, I have an addiction and I actually need help. Maybe, honestly, it's not quite so dramatic. It's just you're afraid to even ask that office person to come to candlelight service on Christmas Eve. So there's always a good reason for you. You can always find a good reason to let fear keep you where you are instead of move you where God wants you to go. Let me just remind you, though, God is not sending you. God is going with you. God wants to be there right alongside. I will fear no evil because you are with me. You know why he's with you? Because you are his favorite. But don't confuse favor with easy. Don't let fear keep you from where God wants to take you. Second, don't be afraid of what surrender will cost you. Surrender is kind of like pregnancy. It's accompanied with both joy and pain. And God is going to stretch Mary in more ways than just one. I don't know what she understood. I doubt she understood a whole lot, but I think she understood this. If I say yes, my safe, comfortable, cautious life is gone. But here's the irony. The irony is that we want so desperately to have a life that promises us security that we chase things in our lives that actually keep us perpetually insecure. The sin more condemned than any other sin in your Bible is idolatry. And what is the appeal of idolatry? The appeal of idolatry is this. Idolatry is appealing to you to give you a safe life. It is going to give you a comfortable life. It's going to give you an easy life. So we deviate from God and we chase after the right marriage, the next marriage, or better sex, or better education, or perfect kids, or a great job, or that new house. And we all want those things to bring us security. And the problem with all of those things is every single one of them can be taken away at a moment's notice. Idols can always be lost. So we chase what we want to be secure, not realizing that the chase makes us perpetually insecure. And here's what Peter said about that. Adam read this very well at the beginning of our service. But even if you should suffer for what is right, you're blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. So you need to center your life. You need to make the object of your most fervent worship and pursuit someone that you cannot lose. Mary was willing to be a mother because she already had a master. And surrender came with a cost. But unlike the fearful who hear God give them a great assignment and pray that prayer that every single one of us, if we're honest, have prayed in this room, Lord, your will be changed. Mary prayed the prayer, Lord, your will be done. It came with the cost, but it brought her the Christ. You can always live fearful. It'll always make sense as you look at what you might lose if you live courageously. But when you live faithfully, you realize that there are so many things that you will lose that are even greater if you live cautiously. And that's what we have to tell the next generation. Don't give up what it will cost to live a scared life. Gary Hagen started a ministry called the International Justice Ministry, and he was quoted in an article. He said this, it's profound. After we have poured into our children all the good food, shelter, clothing, after we provide them with a great education and discipline and structure and love, after we work so hard to provide them with every good thing, they will turn to us and ask, why have you given all this to me? And the honest answer for me is so you will be safe. And those little eyes look up at me and say, really? That's it? You want me to be safe? Your grand ambition for my life is that nothing bad happens to me? And he says, I think something inside of them dies, and they either go away and perish in safety, or they go away looking for adventure, actually in all the wrong places. Jesus, on the other hand, affirms their sense of adventure and their yearning for larger glory. Let's not give the next generation Christianity as a hobby. Christianity is a pitiful hobby. You want a hobby? Well, go get one. Take up sewing. Learn an instrument. Try pickleball. I hear that's a lot of fun. But Christianity was never meant to be something that you sprinkle on your life to make it easier. Christmas reminds us that from the beginning, the story of Jesus is calling us on this journey that is challenging and costly and consuming and so worth it. Because each step is infused with the presence and the power and the possibility of God. So why do I want to settle for safe and miss the King? So I read with great delight the testimony of a man that was given by, his name was Daniel Negieri. He's an accomplished children's author, actually. He's also a believer. And here's why. He was born to Muslim parents in Iran. His mother, who was a very successful doctor, they lived a life of privilege and status. His mother became a follower of Jesus. And she put this little cross on the rearview mirror of her car. And she went to her car one day after working in the hospital, and there was a note on her windshield left underneath the windshield wiper. And it read, "Madam Doctor, if we see this cross again, we will kill you." Young Daniel is obviously wondering, well, how much does my mother believe in this Jesus person? He writes, "Mom took the cross down that day. And she went and got a cross so big it blocked half of the windshield of the car, and she put it up." He said, "Why would anybody want to live with their head down? Besides, the only way to stop believing something is to deny it, to hide it, to act like it hasn't changed your life. Another way to say it is that everybody is dying. And if you're going to die of something, you might as well die spending your life on the pursuits of Jesus instead of the pursuits of folly." It's a tough question. But most people don't really examine their life to the point where they ask themselves, why aren't they pursuing something worthwhile? But Daniel's mom did. And she took Daniel. They ended up having to flee Iran. They sought asylum here in the United States. Daniel became a follower of Jesus because he had a mom who chose mission over safety. Surrender will cost you the life you could settle for, but it gives you the life you were meant for. See, I believe that we were all meant for a life where impossible is normal. I believe we were meant for a life where the presence of God is real and we know it, that He's with us. I believe we were meant for a life where we are helping to spread a kingdom that will last forever and not just working on building our own petty little empires that actually crumble after we die. I believe we were meant to be participants in the redemptive mission of God. And we can be. But it's going to take surrender. Because surrender still brings Christ to the world. The call of Mary is the call to all of us. Will we say yes to God's invitation to be used by the Holy Spirit to carry Christ to a world that still needs Him? Or will we abort God's purposes for our lives just to see how safe we can stay? I can assure you that fearful Christians are going to make no impact on a world in bondage to the tyranny of timidity. The mission is not for the cautious. It is for the courageous. But if God really has come our way, shouldn't your fears start to go away? Irwin McManus tells a story of when his little boy was 8 years old. He sent him to church camp because he's a pastor and he thought that would be a great thing for his boy to go to church camp. The day his son comes back from camp, he's putting him in bed at night. And the little boy is frightened and he says, "Daddy, stay with me. I don't want to be in the dark alone." "Why?" "Because we learned about demons at camp." So Irwin McManus was mad and he said, "I should have sent him to pagan camp. At least they tell ghost stories and the kids know they're not real, but demons are real." So he doesn't know what he's supposed to do. He's a pastor. What do I do with my son now? He's scared of demons. It's nighttime and he doesn't want to be in the dark because that's where demons are. And does he lie and say, "Oh, demons aren't real"? Or does he say, "Oh, son, demons serve the prince of darkness, Satan. And there's probably demons in the room with us right now." He's just a little 8-year-old boy. And his son said, "Daddy, pray that I'm going to be safe." He said, "No, son, I'm not going to pray that prayer. But I will pray that you be dangerous. I'm going to pray that you be so dangerous that demons flee whenever you come in the room." He said, "Yes, Daddy, pray that I'm dangerous." Did you know demons really are afraid of a person totally surrendered to Jesus? Because nothing intimidates the darkness more than a surrendered servant of Christ. Who is going to take Christ to a lost world? Church, scare hell this week. Be God's favored. Stand up. I want to pray over you. Father, I am asking your Holy Spirit to apply this teaching with great particularity to each person listening. We all have different fears, and you have called each of us to different situations to carry Christ. So, Father, give each person wisdom and courage to apply this teaching and to be as brave as Mary. And may this Christmas have Jesus come to us. And may Jesus come through us more powerfully than he ever has before. We pray this in the name of King Jesus. Amen.